Welcome everybody to Edge of the Rabbit Hole. We have a fantastic episode up for you tonight. Gava and Paula Kelly, paranormal investigators with us from Truth or Legends, are with us. Coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Edge of the Rabbit Hole. I'm author and ghost historian Mike Ricksecker. With me, as always, my co-hostess Vanessa Hogel, and down there in the chat room, Shauna, our chat shenanigator, shaking everything up. We have a fantastic episode coming up for you tonight. We have Gavin and Paula Kelly with us. I've met them a few years back at SilCon. Been following them for quite a while on social media. Paranormal investigators, fantastic quality work that they do between their video and their podcasts and all the work that they're doing. In the middle of putting together a show called Truth or Legends, which I'm really excited about. Talked to them at the Paracon there at Ohio State Reformatory a few months back, and it was really interesting, some of the cases that they are working on. So we're going to talk about all those things this evening. So Gavin and Paula, welcome to Edge of the Rabbit Hole. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. Just to get everybody familiar with you, and I know Vanessa's interested in learning a little bit more about you, can we get a little deeper background on you first, and then we'll just kind of roll right into everything?
Deeper background as in what?
Then what you do. What do Gavin and Paula do?
I do a lot.
You do. Yes, I know. I know that.
Are we good now?
So, yeah. Yes. So, Truth or Legends, what's going on with this amazing new show you guys are putting together?
Basically, collecting old stories, and started collecting a little bit before 2012. I was kind of interested in ghost stories, most people are. And basically, I'd just been collecting, started out with my hometown. I was fascinated with different locations in my hometown. And then it just spreaded from counties to states to across broad. We've got 30 teams. 28 teams. And well, I can't keep up the numbers because they keep changing because we've just added two more. We just added two more teams to our regiment.
Well, no, because we already lost three.
Oh.
So these three went ahead and picked up the place. So we still have 28 teams in 20 states.
28 teams in 20 states. Yeah. Because we've had a couple of them had to drop out due to illnesses and major deaths in their families to where they had to change about different things in their lives. And we understand that.
Yeah.
And family does come first, even though, you know, we're part of a paranormal family. But families do come first. So we would always take care of your family first. And you know, anything else comes along second. That's, you know, whatever it is.
We're not going to penalize them for it.
No.
So. Right.
So. And so I've collected all this and we have been part of the teams and I give them case files and stories that are, I don't like, say, for instance, the state of Texas. You know how big the state is.
Yeah.
I find out where your hometown is and I don't let you go no more than an hour to an hour and a half away from your hometown. So a lot of places have been within 20 miles or 30 miles of where they live. And so they go investigate and then we come in and film, you know, after they tell us, you know, well, here's what we found out. Come on in. We'll start, you know. And so we'll go to them and do the reveal. And it was pretty interesting that we got.
Yeah. Basically what we do is we'll give them a case file. And it'll look something like this.
And this is based on a local legend, right?
Yes.
Yes, a local legend or a local story.
So this location right here is the National Railroad Museum in
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's it. So we have a picture of it. We also have text, basically the location, the history, and the claims.
Can you hold it up a little higher? We can just like see the top of it. So, yeah. Okay, cool.
And nice. It's very minimum history because the concept is that I don't know how every team is, but you always have to have a person on your team that's the historian or the researcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them very little information, and it's up to their historian or researcher to come up with the rest.
Yeah.
And when we filmed with the team in Wisconsin, they had some very good researchers.
Yeah.
and we learned a lot more than what I had found out or that whatever my little story was. And they got, I mean, we've got a couple of good, serious researchers out there in Wisconsin. And I was floored with a couple of their little stories that they told and all the analogies and everything. So
basically, we give them the opportunity. We look at all of their evidence. We listen to their audio. We check out their video footage, look at pictures. They give us an explanation of each piece of evidence, and then at the end we'll say, okay, well, since you guys have investigated here, you've looked at the claims, this is what you guys are thinking, here's your chance. You want, is this place basically truly haunted, so it's truth, or was it based on a legend? And they have two stamps, one's for truth, one's for legend. So they go ahead and converse with their team. And it's really cool how they do that, because they're like, well, you know, we did get this type of evidence here, but it wasn't really quote unquote haunted. So we're going to go with legend.
Or they have like a group roundtable discussion or something going on.
Yeah. And we film it.
Okay. And we film it.
Yeah. We film the whole group discussion of them talking among themselves to make that decision if it's true or a legend. So you can hear them, you know, bobbling over the situation of the story, and we'll have all that in the episode where they're discussing, well, we did have this and we did have that, and because of that, you know, we play it off as being a truth, or they play it off as being a legend. And they have gotten a couple of things that was very hardcore that, it, you know, we're still floorboard by one EVP that they got that you get to see in the very first episode when it comes out. And we're just floored because we had never got anything like that before. Mm-hmm. And Gavin even...
I tested it today and it's not human.
It's not human, whatever they got. And it was just wow. And but yeah, that's going to be in the first season of Truth and Legends, which will be out next March.
Yep.
Let me ask you just real quick, while you talked about this and the difference between trying to figure out whether it's truth, whether it's legends, mm-hmm. have you had instances where they have went to investigate a legend and was able to debunk it as legend, but actually stumbled upon a different haunting?
Yes.
How many and times does that happen?
As in part as the teams or as our personal experience?
Talk about team.
Well, as our teams, the team that we just did Wisconsin with, we had that same scenario to where the story that was told about the place, they didn't get anything that involved that story mm-hmm. that happened at that place, but they had something else happen to them that they could figure out what happened. Mm-hmm. And no one, you know, has ever experienced that situation at that location, but they would have all the other concepts that supposedly happen at that location.
It's just an interesting concept that something that you're searching for actually leads you to what you're supposed to find.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Completely different. So I was just curious about that. It's happened a few times on my end, so I love to hear about it when it happens to others.
And you've got those basic little stories of legends that you know you can easily debunk. Like you have the glowing tombstone in the graveyard,
yeah,
and you have the gravity hills where they, you know, your vehicle supposedly you think you're going uphill, but you're actually going downhill.
It's a grade
of some sort. We've done debunks on those, mm-hmm. but we've also been to a location to where we are debunking something else that was easily debunked, but we end up picking up something else. And that's when we were at where were we at?
We go to so many places.
I know. I never forgot where that place was. I want to say it was Asbury, where we was going to go in and we were going to be debunking something in Asbury.
That's a cemetery.
Yes, I know that. And that's when we had the breaking in the grid where something else happened while we were... Oh. Oh, yeah.
That place was freaky. I've never experienced any of the stuff that happened there. I was actually setting up a trail cam, and I could see the grass go down and pop back up.
Like somebody was walking towards us. Oh, wow.
Okay. So you could actually see the footsteps.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then when I set the grid up, I was shooting it toward a bunch of tombstones, and all of a sudden it appeared, looked like two figures, a male and a female, walking toward us.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And the deal is, we went there because they had, the legend was, is that if you're in the cemetery, you can hear babies cry in the cemetery.
Yeah, we didn't hear no babies
cry. We didn't hear no babies cry, but we had that happen to us.
Right. And this cemetery is very weird because I can't explain what actually happens, but the crickets will stay on the outside of the cemetery and just chirp there. And also the lightning bugs will stay on the outside. They will not come in.
No.
Insects will not come into the cemetery.
No. Yep.
No. Interesting. I can confirm that for you. I was in Ireland a couple of weeks ago, and I went to one location where not one cricket, not one bug, not one bird, not a moth, not nothing. The only thing that was living in that location was bats.
Oh, wow. Huh.
There was nothing. But the second you got out of that location, everything was there. Night cams wouldn't even work on this place.
Where's it at?
In Ireland.
Well, I know.
We're going to Ireland next year.
We're taking the paranormal journey into the unknown overseas next year. We got 5 days in Ireland and 5 days in London. So
you don't have to mess with that location.
We'll go there.
Once my episode comes out, I will, because we just filmed a docuseries.
Ah, cool.
Gotcha.
Cool.
If you need a second hand and I got the cash, I'll go with you. Because I can take you to the cool places.
Yeah, you've been to some places for sure. Yes. So we have several questions here out of the chat. So I do want to get to those. Since we're talking about the show Truth or Legends, we'll get this one from Shadowcat. What are your favorite legends?
My favorite legends, I don't really have a favorite. I mean, I read through some of them, and I have some of them that actually, you know, kind of sticks out to me, to where I put them as more important than other legends, but I don't really have a favoritism on legends. I've done some cemeteries, but I'm not a big person on cemeteries. I am more of
it's more like an urban tale, you're talking about. I don't think we've come across anything that's worth a legend yet. That's the reason why we put the show together, so we can actually learn about some legends.
Yeah, because I'm one of those, I always, when we do paranormal journeys in the unknown, or we are working on our new documentary series, I really investigate, not like investigating paranormal, but I do a lot of the background history research if it's something that I do a major documentary on or something, that if I'm seeing it as something that it's not really is, I will throw it to the wayside and start on something else. So when we did Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown, a lot of those we knew we had a lot of truth to, so that's how they end up being part of the episode. Legend, like I said, this is all new to me on Truth and Legends, and like I said, I've collected all these stories. I have certain ones that stick out in my head. I've had a couple of cool ones that are bed and breakfasts that I've sent some of my teams towards. Theo's. We've had some battlefields. We've had a hospital. Let's see. I've had a winery.
So a lot of different locations. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, we have a wide brand of different things. Like, you know, like I said, we have one which you already kind of know about, the train museum. So that's going to be...
Spoiler alert.
There's your spoiler alert. There's one about the train museum in Green Bay.
Yeah, but I didn't tell them what happened, though.
No. And they'll have to learn about the history of the place if they want to look it up. But it's all spectrums. It's not just, you know, same old, same old, same old. These are all spectrums of all different backgrounds of all these locations, from asylum asylums to hospitals to prisons to jails to different things like I said, the bed and breakfasts, an old mansion, an old school. I'm trying to remember all the listings.
Sounds like quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. You have over 5,000 stories. You have all kinds of different backgrounds.
Her head's oh my gosh.
That's a lot to keep track of. And I know when we were talking at Ohio State Reformatory there a few months ago, Paula, that you're like really getting into some details of some of those stories. And it seems like you've done a lot of historic research, which is fantastic. I mean, that's always been a big interest of mine. Yeah.
And it's not just stories that I find on the internet or in the newspaper or whatever, but I also pull books from authors and I find, go through those and I look through their stories and add, if there's something in their stories, I add to the collection. Mike.
Thank you.
Speaking of OS.
Hey, there you go. I have that exact same shirt sitting in my closet.
Oh, man.
So, interesting question here from Zippy Davis. He says, I know this is an odd question, but when they do it, what are they searching for more, life after death or facts?
A little bit of both, actually. I mean, is there a presence at that location that they're investigating? Proving something or non-proving something is basically you're trying to learn a fact from it. History is always good, like we said before, and sometimes we can learn our facts from our history, and we can also learn different things on that concept. But yeah, that kind of goes together. I mean, are we proving something's there that is paranormal or non-living? Yes. Is it going to be a factual situation? It can be the same too. It's kind of like writing your own history book.
Yeah.
Good way to put it.
That's a good analogy. Now, have you come across cases when you're researching the history where you've actually found the known history of the location to actually be incorrect, and you've been able to discover some more accurate truth of those locations?
As in the history of me researching it itself, or just finding it out later?
As you're researching a location, it could be like any location that maybe as you're researching what's the known history, like maybe it's a historic house and the history that they keep repeating over and over again. What you end up discovering throughout your research is actually the stories that they've been telling is incorrect.
I could say something on that, but I get in trouble.
Now, this is Edge of the Rabbit Hole for a reason, honey. Go for it, okay?
Which one are you going to talk about?
Well, since they brought that up, they're talking about a story that you find out that's not even true at all.
Exactly. That's OSPH.
Well, yeah, there's OSPH, but I had one more than that. Myrtle's Plantation.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, really? Wow. Do tell.
Oh, man.
None of that is real. Two things. And they twisted the story on those two things. And the man did not... The man that died.
Mr. Winters did not die on a 13th step.
I mean, he didn't drag his lifeless body.
I love that. It's written that way. He dragged his lifeless
body to the 13th step and died.
In his wife's arms. No.
No. Wasn't his wife's arms. He didn't even die in anybody's arms. All he did was die on his front porch, and it was over a dueling situation with another man over a girl.
Yeah, he got shot and bled out on the porch.
That sounds a lot more romantic, actually.
It's a shit happens moment.
But yeah, they keep on saying, oh yeah, he you can come over here and put a EVP recorder on the step and put a REM pod and you can see or feel his presence go up to the step and then just stop on the 13th step. Like, that didn't happen.
No. According to facts and documentaries and newspaper articles that was written, he died on the front porch. All these major deaths, anything that I can find. We've had a couple other people that has been looking and researching into Myrtle's Plantation, and they can't find what is being said at Myrtle's Plantation. Mm-hmm. There's no Cleo. There's
Chloe.
Or Chloe. There's no... I mean, I understand that in that time period when census was taken before the Civil War, some, it depended on what state and what county you were in, if they actually stated the names of their slaves in the census. But most census that I have found in the southern states is basically you have the landowners, you have the property owners, and they tell how many slaves they have, and if they have any males, how many females. They don't give names.
True. Which I mean,
that's questionable. And then you have a few states that has the counties to where you had John, Jacob, and Martha and all that, and that was the names of their slaves, and they were able to do first names on their slaves. I have found both references. And it depends on where, what state it is and what county, because some people just cared a little more than the other state. I don't know on that part. But, I mean, so, we don't have any documentation proof.
And no death certificate either.
Well, death certificates were not required to be registered by state law until 1910.
Oh.
Well, and the thing is, because I'm from Alabama, the thing is when it comes to the South and its slaves is when the ones that you find mostly on census records after a certain time period were what they called house slaves.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that were in the home, dealt with the children, dealt with the home, and were meant to be seen and serve polite company. Those that were on the land, that were there to work the land, and I apologize if this is offensive, I truly do, but those that were meant to work the land and do other things that were less savory, they were not documented. They did not have to be. Documenting them would have given them a status, and that was not something that Southern plantation owners cared to give their slaves. Unfortunately. Yep. So that's Huntsville, Alabama, born and bred. So.
that makes sense.
Yes. Only your house slaves. Only your house slaves. Those that were meant to be seen and to serve polite company. That is my understanding of it. Yeah. Now, I very well could be wrong. I could be misrepresenting, but that is my understanding of it.
Well, supposedly Chloe was actually in the house. She mm-hmm. was something to
the children.
Yes.
She was like a nanny to the children.
I have actually heard that story. I've been to Louisiana so many times, it's not even funny. And that is the one place I've never been.
Go figure
I've
that.
Never had any desire to go.
We've never been, but it was a story that, you know, you had those certain stories that just peg at you like, is there any truth to that? Especially when they, and this is the one that sparked me, was for the fact that you had Mr. Winter's lifeless body. I mean, it's written that way.
So, if you actually, I mean, is it his ghost that's pulling the body up? Is that the deal? The ghost is actually pulling the body up?
You, I guess.
If you go to Myrtle's Plantation website, that you pull up the back history, they actually have a little history page on mm-hmm. there where you can read it. That's what got me into reading the story. I was like, how can you have a lifeless body being dragged to the 13th step? And I'm over here going, there's something fishy. And that was the first red flag.
Who did astral projection?
I don't know. My body's pretty fucking lifeless after work. So, I mean, it just is what it is. But it isn't even the lifeless body part that gets me. It's that you can tell that they're reaching when they say the 13th step.
Yeah.
Because number 13, you know how people get about it. It's my lucky number. My kid was born on Friday the 13th.
But here.
It's just one of those things.
Here's the other thing, though. If supposedly he bled while he dragged himself, you're going to have blood in the carpet. Blood seeps through carpet, seeps through the wood. It does not disappear. Nope. So it doesn't matter what type of carpet you put on there, it will go right through it. So there's no instances of blood anywhere going from the parlor to the steps. Nothing.
Yeah, the entire subfloor would have to be replaced in order to get rid of that.
Right.
Then you've got your floor joists underneath it that were holding it up. Any type of bracketing, blood does not disappear. I mean, that's actually something that could be completely verified through luminol and proper forensic science today.
But if they won't allow anybody to do it.
Oh, of course
they
not.
Won't allow anybody to do it. Of course not.
And here's the thing. I posted what I thought about it, and I put it on their page.
Oh, I'm sure they did not appreciate that.
Oh, they deleted it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It was gone.
See, and that's the thing. I mean, give me the true, what we can somewhat prove to be true, haunted stories any day of the week and twice on Sunday over something that's been regurgitated by mm-hmm. thousands of people in order to turn it back.
Yeah.
I can't stomach that.
I mean, we've been into locations that, you know, one story was told one way, and we go in and investigate, or I go do the research, and it came out something different.
Let's talk about Bobby Mackey's.
Uh-oh. He went there.
He went to Bobby Mackey's.
The portal to hell.
The portal to hell. Is it a portal to hell? It's just an old well, isn't it?
It's a drain vat. The place used to be called the old 76er distillery. And then it wound up turning into a club. It was called the French Quarter, I think it was.
Yeah, it's called the French Quarter.
And then it was something else.
I don't remember. It was a series of things.
It was run by the mob.
Yeah, the French Quarter was run by the mob. But it's just because Kentucky had their own version of mobs. But
yeah.
It was just one of those things that you just took a story and you build on it. Oh, something God, yeah. minor happened, and then it had to become more tragic, and then mm-hmm. it just added on and added on mm-hmm. and added on to the point it's just
spinning a yarn.
Call it the hell mouth and get it over with.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Certainly, a lot of these legends that are out there are, you know, completely different than whatever the original truth was, but still within. Mm-hmm. Most of these stories, there is that original grain of truth. So when it comes to Bobby Mackey's, what would be that original grain of truth that they built the story off of?
Well, there was a death.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, there was nothing, but the death that they're claiming on didn't happen in the
Pearl building. Bryant's head never got decapitated there on the grounds or thrown into the drain vat.
Her body was found about 3/4 of a mile down the road.
And they never found her head.
And they did not find her head. Yes, that's correct.
Now, the Johanna story, saying that she was a dancer and something about she was killed there or something. No, there's a person named Johanna, but didn't spell the same way, but died like about a mile away from the location from poisoning.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's on the death certificate.
Yeah, I looked up the death certificate. And then the only other person I know of that actually died in there was Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carl died there. And people claim that Carl haunts the place, which Carl had.
He loved that place.
He loved that place, and he was attached to that place before he even died. So does Carl haunt the place? Probably.
I believe in that. The only thing I don't believe in is when they say a lot of people go down to the basement, they start hallucinating. Want to know why?
Is there mold?
Gas?
Nope. There's a big, huge transformer down there.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It gives us so much EMF. They even tell you, don't go around that corner with any electronic devices. It'll fry it.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a huge EM pump. So now you know when you have an EM pump and you have to, like, stand, you know, 50 feet away from it with any electronic devices, otherwise it'll start affecting it, possibly fry it. Well, this is a huge transformer. Probably about the size of a bathroom.
Wow.
That's pretty significant. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So that's giving off a lot of EMF. I mean, if you actually go down into the basement and it's like right before you get to the dressing rooms, don't really go down the dark hallway to where it is, but just kind of stand there with a tri-meter and watch that sucker peg all the way to the end.
Yeah, I can imagine. I know I've stood outside, we were doing an investigation one time at a apartment building in Oklahoma, and there was this one particular hallway where people would always start seeing things or experiencing things, and right outside the utility closet is where you'd really get that, you know, that type of sensation. It's like, well, this is where all the electric's coming into the building.
Yeah, that might have a little bit to do with it.
Right.
Midget.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
That's true. Or a gas leak, like you stated earlier.
Carbon, well, and that's
I can really mess you up.
A lot of these older places, older abandoned places, things like that, they're going to have mold in them.
Oh yeah,
well that'll happen too.
Something else to consider is depending on your sensitivity, to such things, that can really affect you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's one of the things that you really have to pay attention to when you're going into any location is, can I give a natural reason for why any of this is happening? And if you can't, then you move forward. Now, I mean, I talk to dead folk. I have 42 years, 45 years, you know, so it's not that I am a skeptic, you know, from the word go, but I still, even doing what I do, I have to confirm even for me.
Right.
So you best fucking believe I'm confirming for everybody else. If I'm going to question myself, I'm going to question every other person out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go ahead, go into the location and determine the normal first. I mean, that's why you do your base readings, go around, take a look and see if there's any, well, usually what we'll do is look for leaks with pipes. So that way, when we're investigating at night, you're going to hear like drip, drip. It's going to sound like something on your recorder, but also go ahead and search for leaks, gas leaks, electrical, actually, too. There was one place that we went to that actually had naked power lines. That was
an old
War Memorial Hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is, we were standing there and you can hear the zzz, zzz, zzz. And we're like, what the hell is that? And then sure enough, we found it. It was inside one of the panels.
Wow. That is seriously dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can hear it.
Let me ask you, was that in Arkansas?
No.
No, this was in Kentucky.
Okay, this is in Kentucky. Okay, because there was one like that in Arkansas where it was inside the box and it was actually sparking. We had to stop the investigation.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't sparking. It was, where was it? Scottsville, Kentucky. Kentucky, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was just really bizarre because we were like wondering, what the heck is that? It's like, we can hear it, but we couldn't figure out where it was at because everything was sealed. I mean, this is actually naked, but inside a box that is shut.
Okay.
Wow.
So, it was interesting, though. But we found out what it was and told the owner, and they killed the power.
But he was like,
well, the first thing he said, there is no power there. We haven't had power in that side of the building for over, what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
7 years, I had power in the side of that building. But yet, there was power.
Power. Wow. That's pretty crazy.
So I have to ask, was he fabricating that, or I'm trying to understand.
I have no idea. He looked at us and he was really sincere because I think he had the oh shit look on his face when he found out that there was a live wire inside a box where the whole place could have went.
Right.
Wow. You know?
So he had no clue.
Wow.
Yep. That's a fire waiting to happen. We do have a few other questions here from the chat that we didn't yet get to, so I do want to get to some of these before we finish up here. This is from Raven Rose Paranormal. Do you do residences or businesses or strictly locations? I guess for your investigations.
Basically everything.
We've done basically everything, but we don't film residential. I mean, we've investigated and did residentials, but we don't use that as part of the show because we believe residentials are meant for being
private.
And we don't want to exploit.
Yeah, and the sad thing is we had a lot of residential people actually contact us, give us a fake story. So we actually come out to their house to do the investigation. We look like idiots and come to find out they basically wanted us to use their fabricated story to be on the show.
Yep.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
I've had that happen before.
Oh, we were.
Yeah.
We drove 2.5 hours to get there. And the picture that they gave me was an apparition with no head. The story was, now, we actually took it to heart for what they were telling us because, A, the husband was a police officer, and the wife worked at the courthouse, and they just moved into this house, brand new, so it's like they're...
And the house was old. I dated the house. I did a little bit of research on the house, and the house was 80 years old, so there was any possibility of anything could happen in the house, it could. I found a few small things of, you know, a couple of deaths that happened in the house, but there was no particulars on the deaths because I mm-hmm. couldn't find much that was going on about the deaths at the time. But I did find copies of the death certificates, and they were very exclusive how they wrote it out, because right. they didn't state murder or anything, or, you know.
Right. Well, it was more like suicide, which they yeah. told us. But the thing is, the picture they sent to me, it actually looked like someone standing down the hall in the doorway with no head. So the husband proceeded to say he was told that the guy was distraught and took a shotgun and blew his head off. That's the reason why the apparition has no head. And they see it every now and then. So they were freaked out. They had a daughter. They didn't want to. The daughter was scared. They really didn't want to go back to their house or whatever due to this whole thing. So we go out there and we investigate. Of course, we didn't see anything like that. We did see some weird stuff where they started showing us pictures of anomalies that float from the ceiling. Well, we figured that was cobwebs because we saw them ourselves. But the whole situation, this kind of like takes us back to what you guys were talking about earlier about going to a location. You've been told something, but then something else happens.
Right.
Well, we were up. She was upstairs in the bedroom, and I kind of put around her, I call it the paranormal triangle. I put a couple, three devices. I kind of made a triangle with devices with her in the center. And she is reciting stuff from the Bible. The obelisk is going completely nuts. It came up and said, demon, harvest, souls.
And it said Bible.
Bible. And all the devices were going off.
And then when I quit reading the Bible, they would all quit.
Now, the thing is, this has nothing to do with their story. But it was really bizarre how this all came about. And then, of course, when I went downstairs, we used a Furby. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah,
I remember Furby, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we used a Furby. And the reason why we're using it is because it has to have interaction. It's kind of like the Boo Bear, where something has to interact with it for it to work.
Right.
We didn't have a Boo Bear. We had a Furby. Of course, the Furby was out before the Boo Bear.
Yeah.
But I took the Furby, put it on a chair, had the ovulus sitting next to it. And the Furby's like, ah, like that. And the ovulus said, human? Like, was asking a question. And then the Furby said, what's your name? And then the thing said, Satan. I was like, well, time to go. But that was
But Satan's not going to tell you it's him.
Right.
Why not? Right? So after we did that investigation, we went through all the footage. We got nothing. I took the picture. I gave it to a buddy of mine. He looked at it and he said, dude, that was done on the Ghost app on an iPhone. I'm like, are you serious? He goes, I'm going to send it to you and you tell me. He sent me the picture. Sure enough, 100% identical.
Wow. Did you ever confront the homeowners?
No.
No.
I just felt like we really shouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, though, when people do something like that, especially when they have children and they involve the children
mm-hmm. yeah.
in that. Mm-hmm. That's inconceivable to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand that.
We have a question from Shauna about the obelisk. She was wondering if it was possible that the obelisk was triggered by the words Paula was reading from the Bible.
Okay, here's the thing. The obelisk is supposedly supposed to work with, it's got a dictionary in it, of course. We all know that. But they state that it uses the energies to help manipulate the words to make a word come out. So I really don't know about that.
Yeah,
I mean, because it's a whole dictionary. I mean, why all of a sudden while you're reciting stuff from the Bible that all these biblical words are going to start popping out when there's 5,000 words on it?
Yeah, but you have to think about it. They're going to have, whoever programs that is going to have categories of words. And there might be a trigger word that triggers words from that particular category. If I was going to make something like that and program it, that's exactly what I would do.
only thing is there's no microphone in there, so there's really no way that you'd be able
that
to trigger.
That we're aware of is, I mean, there's in these.
Oh,
every,
yeah.
Every app you have on your phone listens to you. Everyone.
Lovely.
Yes. So that's something to consider. I'm not saying that's the case, but yeah. That's something to consider. Anything that can be used on your phone, any type of app like that or anything, mm-hmm. it's listening to you. So if, right. if you have an app on your phone that is one of those like the ghost apps and y'all mm-hmm. are talking and you're talking about what you're feeling, it's listening. And it's going to start playing that back to you. It's going to pick out those words.
Right. Only thing is the Ovilus 3 is actually a handheld device.
It's not, I would it's take not... one apart to see if it has a microphone or a speaker in it. Something that could pull that. I would, yeah. but I question shit. So.
Well, definitely have to look
well,
at that.
You've got a buddy that dissects everything.
Oh, I know, right?
There you go. Put it on the table.
He likes to tear stuff apart.
Oh, God. He gets in trouble.
He yeah. does. He gets in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, but Vanessa, talking about the apps, she knows that's why I don't use the apps, being a exactly. you know, having a computer programming background. I don't even bother with those things because I know how they can, you know, just the programming within there, they could manipulate that a lot of different ways, with whether it's the microphone or what have you. So that's why I don't even bother with the apps.
Exactly. So. Same.
Well, yeah. You know, we're getting down the last couple minutes of the show, so I do want to give you guys a chance to go ahead and, you know, whatever you want to promote, the new show, all that, let people know where they can find you and all that great stuff.
Okay. Well, you can find us at www.phantasmicghosthunters, and it's with a P. We're all over Facebook. Look up Gavin Kelly. Look up Paula Purcell Kelly. YouTube, Phantasmic Journey podcast, and more, because we actually have our own podcast that airs every Wednesday night. Well, you can see it back there on the side.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. I mean, we are all over social media, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We have a couple events that are coming up. Let's see.
You guys can be at SoCon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be there.
Okay. We'll see you there.
September 6th and 7th. And then the weekend after that, we're going to be speaking at Scarefest.
Very cool.
Let's see. What else is there? I don't think we have any more events after that.
We don't
have
any more events, but we'll be.
Oh, yeah, we do. We have one in October. We're going to be, it's called Fear the Reaper. I got to remember the date, but. We will be there. We're special guests with Katrina Weidman, Doogie, Richard Estep, and JB. What's her last name?
Hodges?
No. Oh, gosh, I forgot her name. She's going to kick my butt.
Coates?
Yeah, JB Coates. And we'll be there for that, which is going to be kind of cool. Last time we investigated Oath to South, we were there with Jack Kenna.
Oh, okay.
We had some crazy activity there in the hallways.
Yeah, that was some strange stuff.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, you can find us basically anywhere. Just search for Phantasmic Ghost Hunters. Search for Truth or Legends in your hometown. Season 1 should hopefully be released May 2020.
And now what platform will that be released on?
Well... we'll just put it this way. We have negotiations and a contract in play, but I have 6 months. I have a deadline, 6 months to put together the teaser or trailer and give it to Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, you go Netflix. All right. So I thought before you guys were talking really about Amazon that. Or did
well,
I?
Well, the Paranormal Journey is on Amazon right now.
Oh, is that what it? Okay.
Yeah, the okay. first season is. Second season and third season, we're actually in talks with another network.
Yeah.
So that's actually, it's not going to be like Travel Channel. I'd love it to be the Travel Channel, but, you know, it may be like Pluto, Plex, A&E, you know, I don't know.
All right. Very cool. We'll be on the lookout for all of those. So mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have the first episode, maybe, for you guys to watch at SilCon.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
So everybody that comes out to SilCon, it'll be at the Mattoon, Illinois, at the Cross, what is it called?
Cross County Mall.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. We are actually going to debut the first episode of Truth or Legends, hopefully. So.
Yay! That I won't be cool. there, but yay!
Oh, wow.
All right.
Mike will tell you.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it. So, well,
thank you.
Gavin and Paula, thank you guys very much for joining us this evening. Had an absolutely wonderful time. We're going to go ahead and get into the shout outs real quick.